You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When I die, I don't need any insurance against hell and damnation. This is the attitude expressed by the well-known female author Mary McCarthy. McCarthy was sometimes called the First Lady of American Letters. She died a little over a year ago from cancer at the age of 77. She unabashedly said that she did not believe in God and that she did not need faith as an insurance policy against damnation either. McCarthy said, "If the kind of God exists who would damn me for not working out a deal with him, then that is indeed unfortunate. I should not care to spend eternity," she explained, "in the company of such a person." With this type of arrogant attitude openly expressed and defiantly stated, we can be sure that for some people, Judgment Day is going to be a time of surprise and even indescribable shock. On the basis of the sacred scriptures, let's state one thing clearly. God does not work out a deal with anybody. His unchanging position towards all men everywhere is clearly expressed by the public announcement of his Son Jesus, recorded in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus, the Bible explains, came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel." And in his gracious invitation to believe the gospel, the Savior is offering hope and forgiveness, help, strength, and even faith to believe. The man whose marriage failed last week or last month, he is also included in Jesus' offer of help and hope. And the older gentleman who now feels that he made mistakes while raising his children, he is also being offered the gospel of forgiveness and mercy. And the middle-aged mother who grieves because her daughter refuses to speak to her, she too is included in the gracious call of God. Oh yes, each day that you and I live, we need the constant assurance that God is indeed extending his mercy toward us in spite of our sins and failures. And knowing every hour of the day that we could be removed from this life and that our existence might be suddenly terminated by death by the Spirit of God, we are then also constantly empowered every day to face the coming day with solid confidence. And thus, even if death itself should take us, we will awake in the arms of our Savior, rescued by the blood-stained hands of our blessed Redeemer, whose blood was shed to make us clean from sin and entirely acceptable in the sight of God. Oh, my friend, this can also be your hope today. Even though you may have failed often in the past, God still loves you, and he wants to give you the best. Not only for you, but also for your entire family. Indeed, it is true, as the Apostle writes, that for all who look to Jesus Christ for help, God has not destined them for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Living each day with this concrete confidence in God, you and I can then also depart this life not with some selfish and self-centered attitude of being singly saved from sin, but with the blessed assurance that our loved ones also will be able to gather around our coffin someday, while the presiding clergy will be able to say with integrity, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Therefore, instead of daily traveling the cold, dark road of doubt, and instead of edging year by year closer and closer to the deep, dark abyss of spiritual uncertainty, listen with open ears to the comforting words of Jesus when he says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everybody who beholds the Son, that is, everyone who looks to Jesus Christ with faith in his sin-cleansing wounds and believes in Jesus, may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." And so, my friend, for you today also, the Savior is saying that the idea of a judgment day need not send signals of uncertainty into your soul. And the knowledge that you will someday stand before a holy God need never again paralyze the possibility of your enjoying life in its fullest, even during your last days. So, my friend, take stock of your life today. Don't delay. Prepare to meet your holy and righteous judge. Leave forever behind you all feelings of self-righteousness and give up any and all vain and useless attempts to please God by religious things that you hope to do, and instead concentrate on the crucifixion cross of Christ, that age-old symbol which powerfully portrays the salvation that God has already prepared for you in Jesus Christ. Oh, no expression of what our gracious God has done can ever be stated more clearly than that which was penned by the Apostle Paul when he wrote, "In Jesus, yes, in Jesus we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." And, of course, it was also the Apostle Peter who reminds us that our salvation was not paid for with plentiful human materials such as bricks and stones, nor even with rare commodities such as diamonds and emeralds, but with the spilled blood of the promised Messiah. "You were not redeemed," St. Peter writes, "with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, indeed, blessed are the dead. That's what our text for today says. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Now, this expression from the Bible, that death can be a blessing, may seem a little bit out of place and extremely awkward in our day and age. In a recent article, Time magazine stated that yuppie types not only prefer to deny death, but they would like to deny everything that is unpleasant in life. And so for this reason also, those who face death try in vain to deny any type of hell or eternal suffering in the afterlife. However, even our best attempts to deny death and the inevitable judgment day is not going to change anything. Death will still take place for all of us, and the judgment day will inevitably follow. In the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, we read, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes the judgment." And oftentimes, those who speak arrogantly and blasphemously toward God, these are frequently the same people who have erroneously convinced themselves that if and when death does come, everything will be over. They're just going to disappear, they say, forever. And so, why bother about religion? Now, such a thought might indeed provide a momentary escape from the Bible-based reality of hell. Nevertheless, if we are willing to take just a few moments to examine the fundamental teaching of the sacred scriptures, inspired by God Himself, then we will find out that the facts of life are quite different from what some people might prefer to hear. In the closing chapters of the final book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we read about the total collapse of the world civilization. The final worldwide judgment will then take place, and those who have turned to the blessed Savior for salvation, they will be saved forever. But those who have remained indifferent to the Lord's gracious call, and those who have rejected the grace of God, are going to experience the judgment of God firsthand and eternally. That's correct. This is what the Bible teaches. Hell is not some type of annihilation. No, hell is eternal suffering based primarily upon an eternal separation from God. In Revelation chapter 19, we read that the smoke of the judgment will rise up forever and forever and forever. Blessed are the dead, then, who die in the Lord. These are the inspired words of our text for today. Those who die trusting in the sin-cleansing power of the blood of the Savior are truly blessed. They shall inherit the kingdom of their heavenly Father. But then there is also another reason that those who died trusting in Jesus Christ are called blessed. These saints of God are those who have survived all the temptations of the devil in this life. Battered they may be, but defeated they are not. Considering all the trials and challenges of life that a sincere soul of our generation now faces, credit can be properly given only to God that any of them survives this life and ends up with their faith intact. Consider some of the many excellent nature programs now being shown on television. These electronic episodes, which actually reflect the wonders of God's creation, are frequently distorted by the narrator, who often tries to erroneously convince the audience that it was evolution and not the hand of God that produced this magnificent handiwork. And so, with a steady diet of this type of godless outlook of the world and upon life itself, it is obvious that children today, now increasingly deprived of the true picture of the creation and of the world, because their parents so often fail to attend church and, consequently, mishearing the true word of God, these children will have an extraordinarily difficult time believing in God and in the mercy and help that He offers us in Jesus Christ. And should any of these same children, raised on a steady diet of atheistic-oriented nature programs on television, finally then survive the onslaught of the devil with their faith intact, truly then, when their last hour in life comes, it will then be possible to say, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they have survived the increasingly effective onslaught of atheism. They have survived the best and the most clever efforts of the devil to destroy their simple, Christ-centered faith." Or maybe we should consider the seductive snare of Satan as he entraps the unwary with his mirrors of modern materialism. If any single demonic tool has ever been successfully used by the devil to effectively drive a wedge, often eternally, between millions of people and their gracious God, then it must be the temptation of millions to find meaning in life not in God, but through the objects of idolatry. These man-made false gods are often fashioned from simple steel into shiny cars, and from wood and cement into lavish and often pretentious homes, and from petroleum-based plastics into numerous items we so frantically desire but end up so seldom using. Countless retirement home occupants could certainly confess that now that they have been forced to get rid of many of their personal possessions in order to move into smaller quarters, they now, in their sunset years, have finally learned that in order to be happy, they really did not need many other things that they once owned. In fact, thousands of these same people are happier since they are now no longer burdened with all the endless and useless activities required to keep up unneeded materialistic acquisitions. Having been freed then from the tempting trap of finding fulfillment in life through acquisition of things, many of these same people then finally finish this life with a new outlook. In sincere repentance, they have returned to the Lord. And then after their last days, by the grace of God, they finally realize that it is in God. Yes, that it is in God and not in wood and stone and plastic that all men live and move and have their being. Oh, how appropriate then when the final and glorious hour of these saints in life shall come and they breathe their last, then their God-fearing and loyal pastor shall be able to say at their funeral, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord and not in materialistic possessions," culminating in a Christ-centered funeral, which is truly a worship event. The celebration of this life then comes to a conclusion in a crescendo of hope and glory. The choir and the congregation of the blessed and joy-filled survivors can then also honestly sing, "What is the world to me with all its vaunted pleasure, when Thou and Thou alone, Lord Jesus, art my treasure? Thou only, dearest Lord, my soul's delight shall be Thou art my peace, my rest. What is the world to me? The world seeks after wealth and all that mammon offers, yet never is content, though gold should fill its coffers. I have a higher good. Content with it I will be. My Jesus is my wealth. What is the world to me? The world with wanton pride exalts its sinful pleasures, and for them foolishly gives up the heavenly treasures. Let others love the world with all its vanity. I love the Lord my God. What is the world to me? What is the world to me? My Jesus is my treasure, my life, my health, my wealth, my friend, my love, my pleasure, my joy, my crown, my all, my bliss eternally. So once more then I declare, what is the world to me? Oh, maybe today you don't feel like you can honestly sing the words of this great hymn. You know that you have so often placed material things before God in your life. But don't despair, my friend. God is still giving you the opportunity to think things over, maybe even for one last time. And so at this late hour, God is calling you. He wants to be the number one friend in your life. Oh yes, God desires the best in your family, so that when your last hour shall come, there shall be neither endless tears nor endless grieving. Rather, with a repentant heart at this hour, turn from all love of this world, so that of you, by the grace and the mercy of God, it will be truly said, "Blessed are the dead who died in the Lord." This happiness and hope can certainly be part of your future. And then with a spirit-empowered desire to leave your past behind you, listen to and trust in the words of Jesus when he says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." Oh yes, my friend, look to Jesus. Believe and trust completely in him. And then whether you are 6 or 60, whether you are 9 or 90 years old, live the rest of your days with a solid hope that when you die trusting in Jesus, he shall surely, as he has promised, raise you up to be with him on the last day forever. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Amen.